just like to say bye all the time. Oh, we're saying bye to everything.
To everything all the time. Like people walk in the room, bye. People leave the room, bye.
We say bye to our toys. We say bye to our bath toys.
Love it.
When we turn off the TV, we say bye.
Okay. Yeah. Do we say bye like at inappropriate times?
No, we're usually pretty good.
Okay.
So he's got it.
At a recognition of things are ending.
Yeah.
Bye.
That's great.
Gray went
that.
Through a little phase of saying the F word, so I think you are really lucky there that it was bye that he latched onto.
He's still young.
There's still time. Yeah. We can still corrupt him. We got this.
All right, welcome back to the Beyond Sunday podcast, where we're exploring how to take our faith beyond Sunday morning. This is Patrick Mazeroff with me, as always, Pastor David Mazeroff.
How are we doing, Patrick?
And Elise McCarter.
Still here, still pretty successful.
All right. We are back in the Bible this
week.
Let's
do it. Yeah.
Yay.
A new month. Welcome to June, everybody.
Yeah. Amazing that we're talking about the Bible.
Sure.
Who would have thunk?
We always say back to the Bible like this isn't like a Bible podcast.
I don't consider us a Bible podcast.
Yeah. I mean, because there are Bible podcasts that are like, they explicitly are like, every week we're talking about Bible.
Yeah.
Personally,
we talk about faith and culture.
A culture podcast through the lens of faith. That's what
I describe it as, a faith and social issues podcast.
Yeah, I think that that's
who are you all describing this to?
Whenever somebody asks me, yeah, I like to rehearse. Like, if somebody were to ask me what podcast I co-host,
oh God,
I'm ready.
What do I do? Always be prepared to give an answer.
Where's my script?
That's from the Bible. All right.
That's right. Yeah. Be prepared.
Yes. So today we're still continuing our series. What does the Bible say about blank? And this week we're talking about what does the Bible say about abortion?
Okay.
Toughies.
It's going to be obviously a hot biblical or political topic over the next couple weeks, especially with Roe v. Wade passing and an election coming. So we want to jump in. What does the Bible say? But I also want to recognize this is a personal and difficult subject matter for many on both sides of the political aisle. And if you are saying, like, I'm not quite sure this is the podcast for me,
fine.
Cool. Turn it off. We'll
check out one of our other 400 episodes.
We will see you next week. We are not quite at 400.
300. Almost to 300. We're almost, sorry. Said the wrong number. Check out one of them.
Yeah.
They're not all like this.
Right. They're very professional.
Yeah. No, no shame. You know, like, it's totally fine, totally understandable. And, you know, our goal here is to say, like, not what you should think about abortion from a political standpoint, but to say, what does the Bible actually say about this issue?
Yeah.
And what are we going to draw from? You know, like, what are the supports for or against that we could kind of find?
Mm-hmm.
Before we do that, let's jump into our news. Before we talk about something difficult, let's talk about something stupid.
Really, prime the pump here.
Dip our toe in the water. Yeah. All right, what do we got?
Here's the question.
Yeah.
Are tacos and burritos sandwiches?
Oh.
Are tacos? Okay, burritos are definitely not a sandwich. If anything, a burrito is a wrap. If anything.
I mean, I feel like a wrap. If you went to a sandwich store and there's a wrap there, that's a sandwich.
No.
Hold on.
A sandwich is two distinct layers that contain all the other stuff.
What is the definition of a sandwich?
Okay. I just gave it to you. Two distinct layers.
Hold on. Is it two pieces of bread?
No, it's two distinct. It could be different things, but it's two distinct and
like
separate.
Like a seven-layer
layers.
Dip is a sandwich?
Right.
But it's not, those are not. No, like it's two. It's
a cake is a sandwich?
Two. You're not listening to me.
I think we are.
Distinct and matching layers.
Matching.
Okay,
that
contain
other
distinct
things.
Distinct yet matching. Distinct. Okay.
So, right, they're just because they're not connected, right? A taco, you could argue, has two layers, but it's one thing.
Okay.
Folded. That's not a sandwich.
It's matching, though.
Well, I mean, like, sometimes you could take a slice of bread and
fold it.
Yeah, fold
it in half, and that's a half a sandwich.
Half
are tacos
sandwich.
Half sandwiches?
Mm, yeah.
No.
Is a quesadilla a sandwich?
A quesadilla is closer to a sandwich if you use two full tortillas. If you fold the tortilla over.
A quesadilla is a Mexican sandwich.
No, Mexico has sandwiches. They're not called quesadillas.
What are they called?
Tortas, I believe.
I don't even think they eat quesadillas. It's a Tex-Mex thing.
Yeah, all of Mexico is like, what's a quesadilla?
Right. Well, we got to get the law involved on this one.
Oh.
I am the law.
I think in the grand scheme, a taco 100% is in the sandwich family, or a sandwich is in the taco family.
In the sandwich family, but not a sandwich.
I'm going to look up the definition of sandwich as per Merriam-Webster.
Oh, God. Miriam does not know what she's talking about.
Miriam knows everything.
Like, look, if you get a sub sandwich from any sub place, they will take that loaf and they will cut it not completely in half, but there's still a hinge attached. True, false, lawyered.
Okay. All right. So this is the dictionary definition of a sandwich.
Is this Merriam-Webster? Or is this, what is this?
Oh, no. He's got us, I think. The noun is Oxford Languages, an item of food consisting of two pieces of bread with meat, cheese, or other filling between them.
But I just said, like, a sandwich on a Kaiser roll or a hoagie roll, it could be cut in half halfway,
right?
And it has still a hinge attached. It's one piece of bread with that slice.
Yeah,
so
I think the dictionary definition is incomplete, actually. Yeah.
You're incomplete.
So based on that, a taco.
Sorry,
that's definitely a sandwich. Yeah. I mean, like that's a sandwich.
Yeah, you know, the hinge like, makes it, but the burrito is a harder.
Sure.
That's more of a cannoli.
Burrito.
Cannoli. What the?
Is a savory cannoli.
Is a burrito and Pop Tart the same thing?
Wait,
and the calzone.
How'd you get from burrito to cannoli to Pop Tart? How did that?
They're all encased in bread.
Oh my God. All right. I hate this discussion.
Yeah. All right, well, Indiana Judge declared that tacos and burritos are Mexican-style sandwiches.
Okay.
Has cleared the way for an opening of a new restaurant, delighting a restaurateur following a legal battle. All right, so basically, this guy owns a restaurant called The Famous Taco. He wanted to open a second location, but due to a zoning issue, the business had to be a sandwich bar-style restaurant whose primary business is to sell made-to-order or Subway-style sandwiches. And the judge says, this counts.
There's specific zoning for sandwich-only restaurants.
In Fort Wayne, Indiana, there is.
This is news to me.
That is interesting. Fort Wayne is its own little world.
Right.
Okay. I mean, in this context, I can understand, like, I would agree that a taco should fit that definition. I would be willing to agree
with that. Made-to-order sandwich type foods. Yeah.
Yeah, a made-to-order sandwich style.
Yeah.
I don't think that means it's a sandwich.
Yeah. I think they're all one family, you know?
But that, I'm related to a lot of people in my family. That doesn't mean we're the same thing. Like,
we are two separate breads.
There are people.
Is a hamburger. A
there are people in my family who are crazy. Yes. I'm still related.
I agree. They're in the same.
Yeah, hamburger is a sandwich.
Yeah.
Is a hot dog a sandwich?
I mean,
that hinge
by the hinge definition. Yeah. I would say,
I'd like to point to Exhibit 1A, the hinge on this Subway sandwich.
I would say a hot dog is closer to a sandwich than a taco.
Wow. Why is that?
I just think it is
because of its more like. Breading, you know, is it
maybe
more?
Yeah, maybe it's the bread over the tortilla.
Okay, it's all about that leavening of the
bread. It could be the leaven. That could be it. What about like a pita pocket?
Is that a pocket?
Is that a sandwich?
Definitely.
Yes.
I think a gyro is a sandwich.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah,
that's a Greek sandwich.
Yes.
Not to be confused with a cannoli, unlike the burrito.
What about an egg roll? Is that a Chinese sandwich? Yeah.
It's Chinese cannoli.
Or Chinese Pop Tart.
I will give you egg roll as Chinese cannoli. I will give you that one, but
I'm having so much fun.
Are we just avoiding the inevitable of talking about abortion?
Yes.
Yeah. 100%. Can we DoorDash some egg rolls though?
Yeah, no kidding. I could go for an egg roll or cannoli. I'd take either one at this point.
They're the same, so
well, congratulations.
If I order a cannoli and I get an egg roll, I'm not going to be angry, but I'm going to be confused.
I'm going to say congratulations to Martin Quintana.
Way to go, Martin.
For being able to open his second location of The Famous Taco.
Yeah,
we should
and
go check it out.
Start this discussion.
Let's go to Fort Wayne.
Beyond Sunday road trip to Fort Wayne.
And we're coming in. I'm coming in strong. At least two thirds of us are coming in strong in favor of Martin. That's a sandwich. So
I am willing to say that it is a sandwich style food that should be allowed in his, like, he should have won this legal battle. I'm just not saying it's a sandwich.
He's not gonna commit.
I'm on board with Martin.
When you hear this, and I'm sure you will, you send myself and Elise a taco.
Yes.
Whoa.
Not Pastor David here.
Pastor David does not want sandwich style.
I do want
a. We will gladly take a sandwich taco.
Yeah.
Or a taco sandwich.
Yes. Whichever way you need to do that.
Would a taco sandwich be a sandwich made from two tacos?
Or maybe just a taco.
No, well, that would be redundant to say a taco sandwich
right.
is a taco.
Well, you got to do what you got to do for the legal issues.
Lawyers are the worst. Now they've ruined tacos.
Is soft taco or hard taco? Which one's closer to sandwich in your mind?
Soft taco.
Soft
taco. Yeah. Closer to hard taco. Yeah.
Hard taco is closer to nachos.
Oh, that's a good point.
No. Nachos are individuals.
I said it's closer to. I didn't say it is.
Or are nachos just deconstructed hard tacos?
Yes. There it is.
All right. It's like when you take your sandwich for your child and they cut it up into pieces, right? Like,
yeah. Exactly, yeah. Yes.
Or open-faced.
Right.
I think it's our fifth and sixth graders here at Lord of Life had a weekly question that they would ask where they'd pick a food and they would have to categorize it as soup, salad, or sandwich. Like whatever food it was, it had to fit in one of those three categories and then make arguments as to why it fit into that category. Yeah. Okay, yeah. That was a game they used to play.
Well, they're 100% on team.
Sandwich.
Taco
was, yeah.
I mean, if those are the three options.
If those are the three, sure. Yeah, that's fine. I don't think those three encompass all the opportunities that food offers us. But yeah.
Sure.
If those are the three, taco is definitely not a soup or a salad. I'm with you on that. Yeah.
Right. This sounds like a binary conversation.
I would say nachos are a salad. I would give you that.
Sure.
Nachos can be a salad.
100%.
Yeah. I say to myself every night.
I'm on a salad diet. Yeah. Is pizza a salad?
Pizza could be a sandwich.
Open face.
Once you fold that in half, it's a sandwich.
Right? Yeah, the hinge.
Yeah. Pizza is an open face sandwich in that category.
Yeah. All right, let's jump into our main topic. Let me pull up my notes here.
What about a bread bowl with soup?
That's a soup.
It's both.
Is it a liquid
sandwich?
That's
like a non-Newtonian fluid. It is both sandwich and soup.
At the same time.
All right. Okay. What does the Bible say about abortion?
Not a whole lot.
Okay. Yeah, so, we got all our jokes out, so now we're on to real stuff.
So
it's too early to end the podcast here, right?
We're back next week with more about
You're welcome.
All right, so we are going to take a look at a few Bible verses here.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
That I have pulled here, and I have read and heard these as pros and cons for abortion.
You know? Okay.
Yeah. Each one as a pro and a con, or certain ones as pros and certain as cons?
It's an important clarification.
Yeah.
Yes. Certain ones as pros and certain ones as cons. Yeah. So.
None of them are swinging on both sides of this fence. Yeah.
So, again, I don't think we're here to kind of tell you how to vote politically. I understand that
that's why I'm here. I'm just kidding.
I understand that this is a complex issue for many. And you know, with attached to this is going to be, when does a person become a person?
Yeah.
Not just is their human life, but is their personhood, right? Mm-hmm. Like that is more of the factor here, not just life, but personhood. And that is difficult to kind of navigate through. Mm-hmm.
And I think it's reasonable to say at the beginning, right? You can be on all sides of this issue and be a faithful follower of Jesus.
Yes.
Like, mm-hmm. You know, the Bible is not going to come down in a hard line. Like, you know, it's pretty clear you have to believe in Jesus to be a Christian, right? The Bible is not going to come down on a hard line, so you've got to believe this about abortion in order to be a true follower of Jesus. The Bible is not going to make. And so a lot of it is us extrapolating from pieces of scripture and then trying to interpret that in our modern context and trusting the Spirit to help us live into that in a faithful way. That's going to be what a lot of this is.
All right, so let's start with the kind of pro-life side. We'll start there. So I'm going to say, you know, based on pro-life Christians out there are kind of saying, here's an argument based on two parts.
Yeah.
One, it's wrong to murder people based on the Bible.
Sure.
And I would say based on the Bible, asterisk.
Yeah. Like, but what if they need to be murdered real bad?
Generally, yes.
Yeah, usually.
Usually, yes. Right. But the Bible, sometimes it's okay. It's no big deal.
Right. It's just kind of a gray area, actually.
Yeah. If you kill the right people for the right reason. Yeah. That's,
footnote. Footnote.
But we're saying, okay, wrong to murder people.
Okay.
That's a healthy baseline for most people.
Sure. We can start there.
And then a fetus. Mm-hmm. Is a person,
right?
And we're saying fetus, and you know, pro-life side probably is going to say from the moment of conception is a person.
Yes.
That second part is a little more challenging to kind of navigate. Mm-hmm. I will say, you know, the majority of Americans out there don't really fall into a binary system of conception or birth. That's personhood. Majority of Americans would say somewhere in between.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But it's much harder to land on.
Yeah.
Not a person is a person at that moment.
Yeah.
That's a much more challenging thing. I will give you some options at the end here.
Oh.
Of historically where people have landed.
Multiple choice. Okay.
Yes. Okay. All right. So here we go. Some pro-life verses that people have used.
Okay.
First one is Psalm 139:13.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know this?
It says, for I have formed you and your mother's womb have knit you together. This is, I'm so close.
You're very close. Yeah, you're partial credit for sure. B minus. Yeah.
You get the AB honor roll.
Yeah.
You got it. Yeah.
For you created my inmost being, you knit me together in my mother's womb. And that's the NIV version. So, because that's what first came up on my Google. So. Yeah. You created my inmost being, you knit me together in my mother's womb. Mm-hmm. So here we go. This would be a pro-life friend. You're being knit together in your mother's womb.
Yeah.
Agreed.
Whether or not personhood, definitely God's hand at work before you're born.
Right.
Sure. Yeah. Sure.
Yeah, in the same way, God, author of creation, is knitting together fruit flies, horses, oracle whales.
Fruit flies is an interesting choice.
That's the first place he went. Yeah, roaches.
All of them are.
No, not roaches.
They don't come from God.
Roaches are spawned out of hell itself.
Yes.
All right, but all that is, you know, knit together.
Yeah.
You know, this is an interesting analogy. Again, it's a poem. It's a song. Mm-hmm. So it's not necessarily here to be the deepest of theology, or take this analogy and run.
Well, and it's also not like a literal thing where God's hands are inside the mother, like knitting a sweater. Like that's not how it's not how it works, right?
Sure. Yeah.
You know. Again, in the knitting analogy, though, the psalmist here, David, I presume, using a knitting analogy. Let's take it. You could say like, okay, a finished sweater is a sweater.
Yep.
A ball of yarn is not a sweater.
Sure.
Yeah.
And I would probably venture to guess maybe at some point in that process, it is a sweater.
But it's not complete.
But it's not.
It's a sweater vest for a little bit. Yeah,
or it's a sweater crop top. You know, like,
worst type of sweater.
This is so dumb.
but it's not necessarily. The ball of yarn is not a sweater, right?
Sure. Like
the moment you start, you would not necessarily say, like, that's a sweater.
Yeah.
That is...
That's a good point.
But I would venture to guess, I would venture to say, like, maybe not, like, when you're completely finished, that, it could be a sweater before that, right? Like, it could be, like, that is a sweater, and you might say, like, well, I want to add buttons, but it's a sweater, right? Like, I would say I could get behind that analogy.
I would also say, though, from the creator's perspective, that ball of yarn is already the sweater, right? Like, in the mind of the creator, the person who's doing the knitting, they can already see that yarn coming into the sweater, right?
Sure.
And so I'm with you, but just to play devil's advocate a little bit, I think from the creator's perspective,
important.
You can
see
that. Yeah.
Yeah.
I want to, you know, give voice and light to as many points of view as possible to say, like, let's navigate a tough issue in light of the Bible.
Yep.
Just to give voice to all the perspectives, sweaters are terrible and itchy, and we should make something else instead.
So David would like sweaters for Christmas. You heard it here first.
Okay. Got another one.
Okay.
Okay.
This is from the book of Jeremiah.
I like Jeremiah.
Yeah.
All right. Right away. All right. This is Jeremiah speaking. The word of the Lord came to me saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Mm-hmm. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as prophet to the nations.
Yeah.
This is another. Life is happening in utero. Personhood happening in utero. You know, we got an interesting thing here. Personhood is happening pre-utero, before conception, you're a person. And that's kind of a horrifying thought in many ways.
Well, that kind of strikes me.
There's a knowledge of who you are.
It strikes me almost as like God operating outside of time more than it strikes me as like, as a fetus, I knew you as your fully formed human self.
But God did, right?
Right. But like I'm saying, that's, to me, the more significant part is God working maybe around time.
Yeah, no, I hear that. And I think this is probably, I would share your sentiment, right? That this to me is more about God being outside of our understanding of linear time and more about God understanding our whole existence in the blink of God's eye, right? Like God already knows all our days and all our pre-days and post-days. God already knows it, right? And I do agree that I think that's more what this is. But it's also very easy to read this from a plain text reading, if you want to take it and say, look, there it is. God knows this being. This being is already loved and known by God.
Right. Especially if that's what you're looking for.
Right.
Yeah.
For sure. You know, this text also kind of implies Jeremiah is different.
Sure.
Than other humans.
Yes.
Right. Like there's something about Jeremiah that is different, right? Like before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart and I appointed you as prophets to the nations. Like something about him is different. So, you know, I wouldn't necessarily say, you know, devil's advocate here to this verse, before I formed. The you in that sentence is Jeremiah, not humanity.
It's not plural. Yeah. Sure.
Yeah. That is Jeremiah is special, and his specialness may be being known in the womb.
Yeah.
It may be in being set apart as a prophet to the nations.
Yeah.
I don't have a firm answer one way or the other, but I can see, like, I understand if you walk away from this being like, yeah, I think Jeremiah is special and set apart. That doesn't mean every fertilized zygote is the same as Jeremiah.
I'm impressed that you were able to
science language.
Pull out zygote. Yeah. I could not have pulled
boom,
that off.
Boom, zygote.
Yeah. Well, I think, you know, again, it's a complicated issue. We want to say, like, all right, so not only abortion is wrong, but when does personhood happen?
Yeah.
You know, here, personhood is happening pre-womb.
Yeah.
Presumably.
Preconception, yeah.
Preconception. And that is maybe even, you know, from a legislative, you know, it's now like every discarded your body when your body discards an egg or or semen, and you're like, that could have been a person.
Well, right. And
that could have been somebody God knew.
Within the frame of Catholic teaching, this is part of what's used against male masturbation.
Yeah,
that you
and
you're,
birth control.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah,
but you're wasting the potential of life, right? That everything is potential life, and so the only reason to engage in sexual intercourse is for the opportunity to make life. And if you're doing anything outside of that, then you're in sin.
Yeah.
According to that teaching.
Yep.
Yeah. That before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Again, it's weird language. It's difficult to grasp. I don't think I would not land on, therefore, legislatively, I would understand somebody being like, every woman out there, for every time she's ovulating, should try to have a baby.
All right. Like, no, sure.
Because it could be somebody God knows.
Yeah.
Like that egg could lead to somebody God knows. I think that's crazy talk. And I don't think any Christian really is out there saying those types of things.
Sure.
Because that's crazy talk.
Yeah.
Right.
So half of this verse, but using the other half as kind of a support for, you know, anti-abortion on every level, or, you know, is much more complex to me. Like, like for me, the first part has just as much weight as the second part, biblically or theologically, and yet that first part kind of is tossed aside for the sake of the second part. Also, Jeremiah is not talking about abortion. I mean, like, the reality is, like, he's not discussing that. Like, this is not a pro or against verse.
Yeah.
For me, the key parts here is set apart. Like, that is the key part. That something about Jeremiah is special. And it's not special, and it's special before he was special.
Right. How many verses do we actually have that we think are alluding to something like abortion, like that would have been around at that time? Two, maybe?
Very few.
Like, it's a lot of extrapolating from others.
Yeah, most of what we have is metaphor, right? Like what we've got here, where God is, either God is talking about or someone is interpreting God as having known us and created us, right? Like, God as creator is a part of that process. That's most of what we extrapolate out.
Sure. Let's take another look.
Okay.
Another verse. Luke 1:41.
Ooh, New Testament.
New Testament.
I'm moving along.
And when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit.
Okay, so this is Elizabeth with John the Baptist in utero, and Mary with baby Jesus in utero.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. John the Baptist would be at about 6 months development at this point.
Mm-hmm.
Probably, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, that if you read Luke, that's roughly where we're at, and baby Jesus is, you know, early on in the stages.
Sure.
Yeah. Okay, so baby leapt in the womb.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, babies kick. We know that. That's
you know that.
Yeah, yes. That's not news, I don't think.
Not to anyone who's been pregnant, anyway. Right, yeah.
Wait, why not? Why are they kicking?
That's right. I mean,
are they just kicking it? You know, they,
what's kicking?
So I guess the question here is, right, what's the role of the Spirit in the experience of this baby kicking, right?
Sure.
And I think that, you know, I think the Spirit is as much in Elizabeth's awareness of the baby's energy as it is in, like, giving the baby energy, right?
Yeah,
like,
sure.
Again, I don't think, this is personhood necessarily, but I do think, like, this is evidence that the Spirit is at work in our in our world, in our life, in ways that we don't understand, and revealing things to Elizabeth that we don't understand, right?
Yeah.
I think that's all a valid way to look at this,
There's definitely some complexities here, right? You know, I think the the pro-life side is definitely going to say, like, the baby in utero knows. Is able to recognize the presence of Jesus and is part of this, like, experience, right?
Sure.
Like, so therefore, that's personhood. And, you know, I think that's not necessarily an unreasonable argument.
Yep.
I would understand that. Again, if you're big enough to leap in the womb, you know, about 6 months, what you said, right? Like,
that's
so,
what I'm remembering from Luke. Yeah.
So we've got, you know, a kicking baby or a baby that is moving around in the presence of Mother of God here. We got those things. So, you know, to say, like, therefore, again, fertilized zygote, same thing as 6 months in utero.
Mm-hmm.
That's not necessarily the point of the story, or not necessarily the same thing, right?
Yeah.
Like,
right.
Like, so again, that. As like most Americans will say, okay, I can buy a level of personhood happens before birth, but after conception.
Mm-hmm.
And this,
where is that line?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
this would be, okay, this is after that personhood, but that doesn't necessarily, let's erase every line that kind of came before it all the way down to conception, right?
Right.
Yeah.
So I think this is, it's just where it gets more complicated. But again, the cleanest lines are conception or birth, because those are the ones that we would understand and have kind of the same level across the board, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, because some babies take maybe a couple of days longer or than others, or some a little couple of days earlier to get to a leaping point in the womb. So if you got like, well, leaping in the womb, but you're like, well, it's all around this time.
Yeah.
So
sure.
what is the time? It's much more complicated, right?
Yeah.
It's much more difficult. All right. So those are the three verses kind of on the pro-life side that I've heard used, you know, when I Googled verses that kind of suggest pro-life. Have you heard anything else or anything more kind of based on kind of this biblical understanding kind of in this complex issue?
I mean, I wouldn't necessarily point to specific verses, but just the general nature of God as creator and God, you know, God's hand being involved in the process and this life being sacred and all like all those things. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, I think too, like we live in like a kind of a privileged world compared to the vast majority of humanity, and maybe even humanity in the world right now, like in that when people get pregnant, all of us assume the baby will make it.
Yeah.
And we assume that the mother will live.
Mm-hmm.
Like those are some assumptions that we're making that truly 100 years ago were not there.
Yeah.
Like that you had to get pregnant a lot because not all the babies are going to live.
Yeah.
Like that was just the reality. Like, and that was the world. It wasn't good, bad. That's just the reality that you live in. And so we live in a world where we get to go and look at an ultrasound.
Sure.
And nobody had that. Like nobody, like for them, is the baby okay in there? Well, we finally felt it moving. Right.
Like,
that was the moment. Like I felt it moving that the baby is okay.
Yeah.
Right.
And is it developmentally delayed or
no idea.
We'll see you when you get out. We'll see you when you see you.
Yeah.
You know, like, so we live in a world where we don't have those kind of same things. Like a lot of that mystery surrounding birth has been kind of removed. Like my wife and I used fertility and like we saw, you know, our child early. Real early,
right.
You know, far earlier. Even if you get pregnant, then you go to your OBGYN. Like we saw it earlier than that, and so we saw that much, much earlier. So, like for us, you know, I can understand, like based on our scientific achievements, like it's much more. It is a more complicated thing with that knowledge that we have, or with those assumptions that we have, than women 100 years ago, or even women around the world, right?
Yeah.
Like where we don't know anything about what's going on out there,
right?
Until birth, and then either the baby's fine or it's not.
Yeah.
And we don't know anything until that moment. All right, so let's take a look at some verses on the other side that have been used on the other side. So we're going to go back into the Old Testament for these.
So and let's just be clear, the opposite side of pro-life is not pro-abortion.
Right. Thank you for that.
That's just worth remembering.
Right. Yeah.
I don't know what we call it.
Usually pro-choice is the language, right?
That's better,
but it's, I don't think anybody's truly pro-abortion.
Hopefully
not. Right.
That doesn't seem appropriate.
Yeah. You know, again, nobody's out there being like, I'm so proud of my abortion. Like very rarely is that kind of the attitude taken. It's mostly, you know, there's a lot of factors attached to it. And if we look at kind of like socially in America, many of the factors are economic or fear based.
Yeah.
And, you know, so I think when it comes to abortion, you know, maybe one side politically wants to take away the supply, and maybe the other side is looking more at how do we take away the demand, you know, like, yeah. And I think that we can, you know,
argue about
which is going to be more effective in the long run.
Yeah.
What do we got on the verse here?
Yeah. All right. So this is Numbers 5, 24 through 28. It's a weird section of the Bible. All right.
Sorry, you said Numbers?
Numbers.
Okay.
All right. So this is a woman is brought to the priest.
Okay.
Who's accused of having an affair.
Okay.
Okay.
She's accused of adultery. So here's what we're going to do. He shall make the woman drink the bitter water. So we made some bitter water. Well, I fast forwarded over that.
Oh.
That brings a curse. And this water that brings a curse will cause bitter suffering and causes bitter suffering will enter. The priest is to take from her hands the grain offering for jealousy, wave it before the Lord, and bring it to the altar. The priest is to take a handful of the grain offering as a memorial offering and burn it on the altar. And after that, he's to have the woman drink the water. If she had made herself impure and been unfaithful to her husband, this will be the result. When she is made to drink the water, that brings a curse and causes bitter suffering. It will enter her. Her abdomen will swell and her womb will miscarry and she will become a curse. If, however, she has not made herself impure but is clean, she'll be cleared of guilt and will be able to have children.
Oof.
So
okay.
We got some weird stuff going on here.
Right.
It feels a little like that scene in Monty Python where they're trying to determine if someone's a witch.
Yes.
And whether or not she floats. And if she, what is it? If she doesn't float.
She weighs as much as a duck.
Yeah.
That's what they lay on.
She's a witch. Yeah. Yeah. What else floats? Churches. Yeah. Very small rocks.
Yeah. It feels a little like that.
Here's the thing about Monty Python. Monty Python is more fun to quote than it is to watch.
I know. It's really kind of a snooze, but it's fun to talk about somehow.
It's more fun, More fun to quote it all. Back and forth, yeah. All right, so we got woman, adultery. Here's the thing. Curse water.
Yeah.
You drink it. Your abdomen swells, or sometimes your thigh swells. Translation is weird.
Sure.
Her womb will miscarry. She'll become a curse. What do we think?
Well, what happens after this?
If she has made herself, but...
No, like after what we read, like, does she drink it and what happens? What's the...
Her abdomen will swell and her womb will miscarry.
No.
Right, but the rest
what
of the
actually
story,
happened?
Like,
when she actually drinks
to her?
It. I don't know, that's it.
Oh,
we don't have the rest
that's
of
not,
it.
Like, it's not part of the story at all.
Not part of the story.
Oof, come on, Bible. Yeah. Help us out.
I mean, I assume...
Give us an ending here.
Based on context clues in the Bible, she's probably going to get stoned.
Yeah.
You know, like,
womp womp, it's the
woman,
Tuesday.
She committed adultery, going to get stoned.
Yeah.
It's too bad.
All right, what do we think?
Curse water is weird, or bitter water, like to reveal a curse, is weird, right? This is a tough one for me to say that this is like pro-choice because I don't think the woman has any choice in this,
right?
Correct.
And so this is perhaps not that. I do think it's interesting that we have a very different perspective on the life of the unborn child. That, like, in some ways, if this child was conceived in adultery, then it's okay for the child to die, and if this child was conceived faithfully, then the child will live and will be protected. Like, that is an interesting notion to put forth. I don't think scientifically it holds out, but it's an interesting theological position to kind of put yourself in.
I don't see this definitely as a pro-abortion or not even a pro-abortion, because the woman is completely powerless. She has no agency on any level. So the question is, like, does this suggest that personhood does not happen in utero? And I think there's some weight there. Again, I think some of this is interesting because we know, okay, what happens if it's not a curse? The potion did not work.
Yeah.
Well, she'll be cleared of guilt and will be able to have children. So it doesn't say she'll give birth. It says she'll be able. So is she pregnant? It's kind of like, it's part of the weird question that I would have based on this. You know, I don't want to point to this and be like, here, you got it, in your face, pro-life people, and they ask the question, like, is she pregnant? I'm like, well, I don't know.
Right.
Like, because I don't know if it's clear. Is she? Maybe.
Right.
Like,
well, it suggests that if she is pregnant, that something about the bitter water makes her barren, right?
Yes.
Because it says she will become a curse and unable to have children.
Yeah. And her womb will miscarry. Yeah. Again, what is that? Do you have a miscarriage or are you now barren?
Right.
It's a little more nebulous language-wise.
Yeah.
I don't know the Hebrew. I'm not even going to pretend to this is what it means in Hebrew.
Yeah.
The next one, I do know some.
Ooh.
Some, but
Humble brag, yeah.
Humble brag.
All right, well, let's get into the next one. What do we got?
Okay, the next one. I'm going to get our Bibles here.
Oh.
Because I have two different translations.
And okay.
The two different Bibles say, coming out.
You want to read?
I thought you were handing it to me. I didn't know what was happening. I was trying to help you out. Yeah.
You want
to
read one too?
Sure, yeah.
All right, what are we reading?
We're going to read Exodus 21, 22 through 25.
So, is that me?
Yeah.
That's both of us.
Yeah, read it at the same time. How about that?
One, two, three. All right, go ahead. You have an NIV, I believe?
We have an NIV and an NRSV.
Okay.
All right. 22 through 25. Sorry. Yes. If men who are fighting hit a pregnant woman and she gives birth prematurely, but there's no serious injury, the offender must be fined whatever the woman's husband demands and the court allows. But if there is serious injury, you are to take life for life, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot, burn for burn, wound for wound, bruise for bruise.
Okay.
All right. When people who this is NRSV. When people who are fighting injure a pregnant woman so that there is a miscarriage and yet no further harm follows, the one responsible shall be fined what right. the woman's.
You can stop there because we got the same thing.
Oh, okay. Well, you told me to read two different things. All
right. One says miscarriage and one says gives birth prematurely.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Sorry.
Yeah, that is the key part.
I was reading along with mine as you read yours, so I didn't even catch that.
Yeah, that is the point key of this word. Yeah. We have two different biblical translators who translated this section differently. Mm-hmm. One says miscarriage. The other says premature birth. And so one says if she has a miscarriage and no other harm follows, pay a fine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The other says if she has premature birth and no other harm follows, pay a fine. And if then tooth for tooth, eye for eye, life for life.
Right.
Attention. Yeah.
You know, so wildly different translations, you know, like if you're on this issue, right, like this is probably for me, has maybe the most weight, but maybe it's the most unclear. So yeah. Like,
right.
Well, you know, like we got to get into this. By the way, this is the second law of what happens if two men are fighting and a woman intervenes.
Okay.
Because that's a thing. You know,
right. Women just be intervening all
Moses
over the place.
Moses is right now. I'm like, well, they got to know about this.
Right.
The other one is if two men are fighting while naked, and a woman intervenes and touches genitalia.
Right.
She got to lose that hand.
What?
You should stop intervening.
There was never a worse time to be alive as a woman. I'm convinced. What in the world?
What if you saw your husband fighting another man naked and you're like, right. Let me get in there and grab something?
Is he trying to deter that behavior?
Anyway, moving right along.
Look, the biblical laws can be thorough.
Sure.
We have no actual biblical law about abortion, by the way. We can just say that right off the bat.
Yeah.
Again, I think pro-life Christians would say, like, we have laws against murder, same thing. So, you know, like,
yeah.
But we have nothing here. This is the closest we get to, is this a miscarriage? Is this a premature birth?
Right. So I do want to interject that a lot of arguments will say, well, we don't have laws, biblical laws about abortion because it did not exist at the time, but things resembling abortion did exist at the time.
Sure.
So just to throw that out there.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, there have been tools and uses, you know, to kind of terminate an unplanned pregnancy.
Bitter waters.
Yep.
Yes.
I think moon tea is what they call it in Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
No, I don't watch Game of Thrones.
I think it's moon tea.
Moon tea.
The historical epic Game of Thrones.
Right.
Yeah. It's drawing on real themes. Yeah, for sure. Not, yeah.
Yeah. So what do we think? What is the word here? Premature birth, miscarriage.
Well, I'm assuming that you're setting us up for a big reveal of what the Hebrew is. But I do think that, like, in the ancient world, I don't know how different miscarriage and premature birth were, right? Because they didn't have life-saving measures. If a child's born at 6 months, right, they don't
there's
have
no incubator.
Right, there's no incubator. There's nothing to, like, that child is likely going to die. Like, so, yeah. I don't know. In some ways, I wonder if there's, like, a similar train of thought in the ancient world. But I'm sure that you've got
that's a great question. That's great. Mm-hmm. So, I'll say this. There are words for birth in Hebrew. There are words for miscarriage in Hebrew. The Bible uses neither.
Excellent.
Neither one.
Okay.
To clear things up. The most literal translation would be like, and her fruit drops or comes out.
Fruit?
Fruit drops.
Yeah.
So again, we had Moses, you could have been clear, right? You could have just used one of these two words.
Well, euphemism is very popular, right? I mean, we don't talk about, in the Bible, we don't talk about people going and having sex. We talk about them having
uncovering
each other's feet or having known one another. They knew each other. Right? So there's a history of euphemism talking around it. Okay, her fruit drops.
Yeah.
Somehow that sounds worse.
It is way worse, yeah. It's just
All right. So what do we think it means for fruit to drop? Is the question.
That is the question. And that becomes much more complicated. So Pastor David Hansen, who's a pastor.
Oh, it's good. I thought you were about to say me.
What did I do? Yeah, you're up.
he referenced this section. And I've read this before, and I've read kind of this thing, and he kind of pointed this. He used the NRSV version of miscarriage. Mm-hmm. And so I said, you know, on Facebook, commented, "How are you confident that it says miscarriage and not premature birth? Because depending on your translation, it says one or the other, right?
Yeah. Right.
And I don't want to like jump in confident when like I think it's a little more gray.
Yeah.
Right.
His response is that the ancient Jewish scholars land on miscarriage.
Mm.
He didn't source any of them, but that's what he said.
But it's also a Facebook comment, right? We're not, we're not writing an academic paper here.
So that's how he kind of handled that, like that the Jewish scholars say this is a miscarriage.
So when the Jewish scholars are writing Midrash about the ancient scriptures, which is where you had like you had the Torah, and then off in the little margins you had all the scholars who like wrote notes like this is what this means.
Right.
They were landing on this means miscarriage.
Sure.
Yeah.
Okay.
Now the other point that I in my research here, you know who Hammurabi is?
The code of Hammurabi. Yeah.
Hammurabi's code. So there are points in the Bible.
Does Elise know?
No.
Who?
That's why I said. Of course I know who Hammurabi is. Hammurabi. No idea.
The Code of Hammurabi is like the earliest known set of laws to govern a people. It's the Hammurabi Code, and it was out of Babylon from, I don't know, some ancient period of time.
Okay.
And so sometimes biblical authors will kind of like copy a little bit of Hammurabi.
Okay. Yeah.
They'll get in there and be like...
light plagiarism.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it was a cultural... it was known throughout the ancient world of this area. Like,
So the biblical authors are like, let's put this in our this Code of
good,
Laws too.
This is a good one. Let's take that one,
Hammurabi got the exact same story. Exact same situation.
Yeah.
For him, it's a miscarriage. Okay. So that's the other point of like, boom, miscarriage. It's property. You pay me money. It's not a person. It's a property.
Yeah.
If if the woman dies, then you would life for life.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But the baby is property. You know, so like that would be kind of Hammurabi.
Yeah.
Now, what does Hammurabi think is, again, probably if you're a pro-life Christian.
You just say not so relevant, but.
Who cares? Is Hammurabi the place where they grill on the little flat top?
Right. Yeah, that's it.
I love Hammurabi chicken.
It's the best. And they do the little flippy thing with the egg in the pocket. Right. Yeah, that's great.
So there we go. So those are the Bible verses that I pulled. I mean, there might be a few others out there, but I think these are the biggest ones of like pro or con abortion.
Yeah.
I will say in the ancient world, the question of when does personhood happen is not absent.
Yeah.
They want to know.
Yeah.
Socrates and Plato and Aristotle argue this out. Like they have their own opinions.
Mm-hmm.
One says birth, one says conception, one says the quickening. All right.
Mm.
So, what is the quickening that people want to know?
So the quickening would be basically movement.
Yeah.
That is the quickening. And that would happen somewhere around 16 to 20 weeks.
Yeah.
Quickening. The other places in culture that we would say when does personhood happen would be viability.
Mm-hmm.
So for right now, that's around 22 weeks.
Yeah, but that number keeps moving because our technology and stuff keeps getting better.
Yeah, it's in its movement. It's gotten like smaller increments. We've made large strides and now we're making small strides. So you know, around 22 weeks, that's when the fetus can exist on its own with medical support. You know,
right.
Not like you give birth at 22 weeks, baby's not like, wah, give me a bottle, right? Like it needs a lot of medical support.
Yeah.
And the reality is most babies who are born at 22 weeks will not make it.
Yeah. Right.
Sure. Yeah.
But theoretically,
it's possible. So viability, when this person happened, maybe that's an option. And then the last one here in Texas, we have, heartbeat law, which is around 6 weeks, which, you know, we have this flutter kind of, when you look on the ultrasound, we have this flutter and we have the sound and like that's the heartbeat.
Yeah.
You know.
Which is not technically a heartbeat.
It is not. Heartbeat. It's a cluster of cardiac cells that are moving together.
It's a real cluster. That's
this whole thing is a cluster.
Sure. So those would kind of be the five that I would say like probably most people would ultimately land on, or really probably most people would be like, I'm not really sure.
Yeah.
You know, like I don't really know one or the other. And I think that's a very reasonable take.
Yeah, I think it's okay to not be sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Too. Like, there's so much pressure to have certainty around this discussion of abortion. And to me, it's totally fine to be like, I really have no idea. You know, like, I don't know. And I think maybe that is kind of what we are. Part of the point is that it's such a personal thing, and yeah. most of us have a no idea.
Yeah.
And probably
yeah.
anybody who is absolutely certain is lying to you.
Sure.
Mm. Like,
yeah.
Yeah. I think from a theological perspective, even from the biblical perspective, I think there are a couple of things we can say. I think that abortion does break God's heart. I don't think it makes anyone unredeemable, mm-hmm. right? I don't think it's ever God's intention for life to be conceived and it have to be destroyed. Mm-hmm. But I also don't think that it's God's intention for us to necessarily put the mother's life at risk in order to protect an unborn child, right? Or yeah. even for a mother to have to carry an unborn child who is not going to be viable. That we know, like, there's a heart defect and this child cannot survive. We know that. And yet, now we have laws that say that you have to carry that to term, right? Mm-hmm. I don't know that that's God's desire either. I think our law has gotten in the way of us trying to understand what God is about. And God is about, God is for life for all yeah. people. But that doesn't mean that we've ever done that right.
Right.
Right. There are so many places where we've gotten that wrong. And so many places where we have abused and mistreated and taken life, and we get hung up on this one thing. And so, you know, from a pastoral perspective, yeah, we don't ever have to be certain. But from a pastoral perspective, I would say it would be really hard for me to ever consult with someone and say an abortion is the right thing, right? But I do think that I could be in a place where I consult with someone and say, no matter what you choose, it is going to be incredibly hard and difficult, and God mm-hmm. is going to be with you through all of it, and I'm going to be with you as a pastor yeah. through all of it,
yeah.
no matter what you choose, right? I don't know that I can tell you the right thing,
yeah,
but I can tell you that I'm going to love you and support you through all of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, obviously, this is going to come up in this political cycle. It's an inevitability.
Always does.
And
well, now, yeah.
I if you're looking across the aisle and people out there being like, I think that personhood doesn't start at conception. I think probably closer to either the quickening or viability is kind of closer to when personhood starts. I don't think being called like a baby murderer really helps like that discussion.
Sure. Not yeah. helpful. Yeah.
yeah. And I also don't think it necessarily is equally as gracious to say like all you want to do is control women's bodies. And not to say like from your perspective that might be true. I just don't know if that's helpful.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know if that changes anyone's opinion, mind, or heart on a complex issue.
Right.
And we're seeing that this is going to bleed over into other tertiary issues, you know, from what happens when women in Texas have non-viable fetuses.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What happens?
Because yeah.
oftentimes, like, you know, usually it's like, well, when the health of the mother or the baby is not viable, you can have an abortion, but nobody actually knows
yeah.
what that means.
And
right?
do you like, have to wait until the mother is literally like on a crash cart?
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Like, or like you have an 80% chance of dying if you carry this baby to term. Is that good enough? Like, yeah. is that a good enough percentage? Because all pregnancy has a risk, but what is like, that's so risky or that's so yeah. risky that now it's okay.
Yeah.
We don't know. Like, that's much more nebulous, right? Like, that's a much more difficult conversation. We have, in Alabama, you know, or was it Louisiana? I can't remember. Issues kind of surrounding abortion now placed mm-hmm. on fertility.
Yeah.
It was Alabama, yeah.
Yep.
Of what do we do with those couples out there who are looking for fertility clinics to mm-hmm. conceive? And that's my family. You know, yep. we, you know, and probably if you're a listener, probably families you know, or maybe you know and you don't know you know. Yep. You know, like that you don't even know that they went through fertility treatments.
Yeah.
And, you know, typically pro-life people have more of a sentimentality around fertility because mm-hmm. like those are people who want to have babies. Mm-hmm. But I would say logically or theologically,
yeah.
if you are anti-abortion, you probably would be against, you know, like I think like you would have that same kind of logical standpoint.
Mm-hmm. Or you don't really understand fertility. So you don't realize right. that you should be against, right?
Like, yeah. Cause right. it does have kind of some messiness or yeah. some gray,
right.
but ultimately it's designed for people out there to have children or grandchildren yeah. or, you know, like that, mm-hmm. that they would not otherwise be able to have. And
sure.
I think that's a powerful and special moment.
Yeah. And we are at this point, right? We've pretty much been talking about people who are having intentional pregnancies, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, let alone like, listen, safe sex is really important. And like, that should be step one is you know, practicing that and doing more education about that. But then there's, you know, pregnancies conceived through rape, conceived mm-hmm. through other like completely undesired, not even sure. like I didn't want this, but like this was forced upon me, like, yeah. you know, and where do we fall yeah. into that? Like, how do we fall into that it is all, as you said, at least before, right? It's incredibly messy. And yeah. to pare it all down to say, like, well, the Bible says this and it's clear. The Bible yeah. is absolutely not clear on this.
Yeah.
The Bible is clear on the love of God for all people.
Right.
That part I can get around. The Bible does not give you a clear answer to this situation that you're facing yeah. right now.
I do think it's important to educate yourself on the facts of what is happening sure. right now, right? Because
happening to you, right? Yeah.
Right. We're in a time of flux right now with Roe v. Wade has just been overturned. We've mm-hmm. got a new election cycle coming up. I recently looked up some of the statistics. I'm not going to repeat them here because I probably will misremember them. Do go look them up of the number of pregnancies that are resulted from rape just in the state of Texas in the past year.
Yeah.
It's awful.
Wow. Sure.
Yeah.
Has it been on the rise?
Yes. Yeah. Well, I mean, because that.
No, I understand. I just say, yeah, yeah.
Sure. You know,
yeah.
the abortion is now
right.
largely sure. illegal in the state of Texas. So, yeah.
Yeah. It's a complicated, heartbreaking issue for a lot of people involved. And I think that we can kind of try to approach this in this election style with a level of compassion, especially maybe in compassion towards those that maybe disagree with you. Because I don't think anybody out there that I know is saying, like, well, I am pro baby murder.
Yeah. Right. It's tough to identify that way.
And that's yeah. what I see like on Facebook, you know, these things of like, well, the liberals now are promoting abortion after birth. I'm like, well, that's not abortion. That's a murder. Yeah. Like that. Yeah. And no one is.
Yeah.
Like, or, you know, like again, like the average person out there who's pro-life, you know, like I don't think they're thinking like, I just really want to control women and put them in the place. I don't think they're necessarily thinking that. I think that they see, you know, a fetus as life, and maybe because of the technological advancements of the last 100 years, and say like, I want to protect something that's sacred and special. And I understand that. I do understand that mentality. I think it's probably more than just, again, one side wants to cut supply, the other side wants to cut demand. And I think if that's your goal, don't just cut supply.
Yeah.
Right.
Cutting demand is also a part of that. If you are, hey, I think personhood happens at some point in utero, but I'm not quite sure when. If you think it's quickening around 16 to 20 weeks, well, about 93.7% of abortions happen before 15 weeks. So the vast majority are happening before 4 months, you know, before 3 months, you know, in that window.
And that is when I believe all elective abortions happen, right? The ones after that frame are deemed medically necessary.
Yeah. If you expand that out to viability before 22 weeks, we're at like 99.7%, right? Like that any after that viability are almost like no woman is like, you know what?
I'm just not feeling it.
I'm out. Yeah. Like those are typically wanted babies who, based on severe circumstances, are looking at, you know, facing an unthinkable decision in many ways, based on severe circumstances, medical circumstances, you know, like are facing something incredibly difficult. And, you know, that's hard. This is harsh stuff. Like, you know, my heart goes out to all the women in Texas who wanted children and had to face through, I'm unable to carry this pregnancy to term, and now I got to figure out what happens in my state. My heart goes out to pregnant women who are looking at, you know, feel like they're looking down the barrel of a gun and being like, I don't know how to do this.
Yeah.
And, you know, my heart goes out to all those who are in difficult situations, you know, on all levels. I think it's hard. So if you're pro-life, I hope that you demand legislation, care for women in this practice, and demand that it's not just about preventing abortion. It's about how do you support women who are in the midst of this, doctors who are in the midst of this, nurses who are in the midst of this, that I think that is your calling as a Christian to not just vote and wash your hands, but to demand more. I think that
I also think it's a, the Bible was not written to be a voter's guide.
No.
And it's important for us to be aware of the technology and the knowledge that God has given us, right? And, you know, if we're looking at something that is a medical issue, the Bible certainly has things to speak to us about, but so does the medical community, right? They they have knowledge that helps us understand what's happening, and that's a voice that needs to be heard. And you can't just read the Bible and say, oh, well, this clearly tells me who I'm supposed to vote for. Like that's, if you're reading the Bible that way, you are, I don't know what you're reading. I don't know. It's not that. It's never going to be that.
Agreed.
And please, for the love of God, do not find the one Yahoo in the medical field that has some outlandish opinion and point to that as the medical field's voice.
Especially if you find them on Yahoo, because come on, stop using Yahoo.
Who uses Yahoo?
Yeah.
Ask Jeeves.
That's right.
The official search engine of Beyond Sunday.
The only one we could get. I think Ask Jeeves is actually in the public domain now, so we don't even have to pay copyright for that.
No, I love it.
Lycos.
Lycos? What are, is that pre-Ask Jeeves?
Yeah, it was a dog. Wow. It was their mascot.
Patrick is aging
don't
himself
remember
here.
That, yeah.
The commercial was Lycos, go get it.
Go get it.
And then a little dog would,
the dog would come get it.
Yeah. I love it. Yeah, it's fun.
All right, I think I've got nothing more to say.
Yeah. Everybody good?
Yeah.
Everybody good? All right, well, thank you for sticking with us. If you enjoyed this episode, send us an email and just let us know, because these episodes are hard for us, and you know, we're want to know if this is beneficial for you all or not. If it's not, we'll do other stuff. Right? We don't pick this one up for our funsies. But you can find all our episodes at beyondsundaypodcast.com.
All right, thanks for listening, everybody. We'll be back next week with more Beyond Sunday.